And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. Good to have you here, wherever you're joining us from. If you're tuning in live today on DLive, VK, Twitter, or over at the Entropy Stream, or at redice.tv/live. Of course, this goes up later on at redicemembers.com. We also upload it to our BitChu channel, to Library, to VK, a number of other places as well. Hope you're having a good, afternoon. If in the U.S., evening, of course, late evening. If you're over in Europe, maybe you're down in Oz or something like that. I don't know what the hell the time is. That might be early morning for you guys, I would assume. All right, guys, lots to get into today, actually. A lot of things to get into. A couple of plugs here before we start up and fire up some of the topics. A lot of important stuff going on today, of course, when it comes to the mandatory vaccination situation. We will get to that a little bit later as well. But a couple of things, of course, we uploaded the latest members show Monday, actually, a little bit late. We were doing some, just hanging out a little bit with the boys, taking it easy on Sunday. Got to take some time off sometimes. Take it easy, hang out with the fam. So we did that a little bit extra on Sunday, so we had a little bit of a delay, but it did go up. Good show, well produced on the disintegration of the dissident right. And also this censorship and hysteria surrounding Plandemic, the documentary. So definitely check it out. Good show. As usual, of course, Weekend Warrior is always a good show. I don't think many are disappointed that tune into Weekend Warrior. So definitely check that out. Good show. Then we have, of course, check that out too. Still exclusive in the member section. Lana's latest video, Just Like the Left. Actually, yesterday I was working on her latest. We were trying to get that together on being a dissident mom. And a real dissident, someone who actually is dissenting in their views, kind of thing. That's going up. I was hoping to have that done by today, and I wasn't able to complete it. A couple of extra bells and whistles in there, so that will probably go up tomorrow, and that will be an exclusive for members as well. RedIceMembers.com. This one will go up on BitChute, I think, by tomorrow or the next day. But of course, if you can't wait, if you got absolutely see it now, check out RedIceMembers.com because it's all available right there. All right, what else? What else is new, boys and girls? A lot of things going on here. A lot of things to talk about and get into. But yeah, I saw a couple of news stories here. I guess we can show those first. Pretty crazy stuff. Not a big surprise, of course. The Raw story have been an outlet which is disingenuous in many different ways. Far left, radical, kind of pro-Antifa. It's targeted Red Ice many times as well. But they ended up using an image of white protesters to depict a story about a black terror suspect, if you can. I mean, it's not a big shocker, right? I mean, this is what they do. But actually, Summit News did some good coverage on this. Far-left website Raw Story was caught using an image of white stay-at-home protesters to illustrate an article about a black terror suspect who allegedly planned to kill police officers. The controversy surrounding an article by Raw Story writer and former Share Blue pundit Matthew Chapman entitled "Ohio Man Arrested for Plot to Kidnap Police and Stockpile Their Weapons for an Uprising." The article was originally posted on both Raw Story and Twitter with an image showing three white men wearing tactical gear. The clear implication is using the image suggests that one of the men in the photograph was the terror suspects. Of course, right? So that's what they do. Not a big surprise. Hey, we had some pretty crazy stuff out of Sweden as well. And of course, this is why we oppose multicultural society, multi-ethnic societies, because it causes so much pain and grief and anguish. And it's wicked in the sense that the elitists are using it to replace one population with another. We'll see what their end goal is here, but I assume they want to have some kind of mixed population at the end of this to break down national homogeneity. If you don't have a national homogenous group within a country, you do not have anything that unifies the people, nor the country. In other words, the function of the nation in itself ceases to exist, right? But in the attempt to push and force this vision and this version of the new global order upon us, we have a lot of victims being squeezed out, being sacrificed essentially on the altar of multiculturalism. And these kinds of stories do not go far and wide. You don't see a lot of mainstream press on this. You don't see a lot of coverage ad infinitum as you would do if the reverse were roles. Imagine a white Swedish male who had chopped up his non-Swedish girlfriend into pieces. You could kind of imagine that there would be some coverage on a story like this, right? So we have Voice of Europe added here. Sweden migrant charged with murdering his girlfriend and chopping her into pieces. A Kurdish migrant have been charged for murdering his girlfriend, 17-year-old Vilma Andersson, who went missing 6 months ago. So now it's been resolved. Can you imagine being the father, the mother, not knowing what happened? Your 17-year-old girl disappears. She's gone for 6 months. You don't know what happened. And getting the news later on that her body was cut up into pieces, some of which have not yet been found. Wilma's head was found in a suitcase in the migrant's flat. But it's all worth it, you know? It's all worth it in the end. There's a little bit of pain now, as, who was it, the Boston University, I always forget his name, Robert Putnam said. Remember that speech? Well, the book he did, Bowling Alone, but that was essentially an explanation of that these kinds of things are, yeah, it's painful now in the short term, but in the long term, it'll be good, right? So we can sacrifice these girls. We can sacrifice these boys being abused and robbed and urinated on, etc. Pretty crazy stuff, huh? I think Tina had a tweet about it too. In Sweden, the boyfriend of 17-year-old Vilma Andersson has been arrested for murder. The 23-year-old Kurdish man had decapitated the girl and carried around a suitcase with the girl's head and some of her underwear in it. Well, there she is. Take a good long look, because that's the price. Gentlemen, that's the price. Ladies. Unbelievable, huh? Hey, just shout out to over on DLive, sorry to start up so depressingly, but for fuck's sake. Sorry for the bad language. This is the reality of what we're dealing with here, right? And then in the meantime, what's happening? You have on the fringes, on the lunatic right, you have like infighting and people bickering and yapping about economic policies and liberalism and communism and Islam and fascism and all this. Like, well, this is what's happening. Like, this is while you're bickering and just, you know, creating infighting and buying into all this bullshit going on, this is the price. This is what's happening, right? But these people are not interested in solving any issues. You'll never see that. They don't care about girls like this. Anyway, H.P. Lovecraft's cat gifts a 1 month sub over on DLive, and it was Taylor Swift, a dude. Swift's a dude, I think it is, that received it. Thank you so much, H.P. Lovecraft's cat. Thank you for stopping by, Clark. Let me see. What's the username here? Clark TN Riders, I think it is. 187. A diamond. Thank you. I appreciate that. Third Culture, a diamond. No message. Mr. Noseberg, good mod over on DLive. He gifts one sub to Kung Flu Jackie Chan. Thank you for that, Mr. Noseberg. Appreciate it. Jorn Saksa, 1418, sends a diamond. This is, my heart is heavy. I've lost a child. I can't imagine. Oh, you have lost a child. Oh, shit. My condolences. Or do you mean figuratively speaking because of what I'm showing? Well, regardless, but thank you, John Sachs. I appreciate it very much. Bizot, I think it is, donates a diamond. This is what we fight to save from their lies. Absolutely. It's lies that are pushing this kind of stuff. That's what ends up happening here. Actually, continuing kind of that vein before we dive into some of the meat of today's story here, or today's show, I should say. The main story of today's show, which is the New York Times piece, where they were talking about the mandatory vaccination in order to board airlines, in order to go to schools, entering businesses and stuff like that. Important stuff to talk about. But this one, too, there was a French pro-migrant activist that was also murdered by a African migrant that he... Afghan, I think it was. That was misspelled, I think, in the... Yeah, the title. Okay, well, the title and the subtitle have two differences. That's Afghan on one end and African on the other. But Afghan, I believe it is then. A president, I should say, of a pro-migrant association was killed, and a young Afghan migrant is in custody. The president of a pro-migrant association that delivered assistance to the homeless was found murdered in his home in Breville in Sire, east of... Cherbourg en Cantine, Manche. Okay, well, thank you for that. I appreciate the location. My fellow Franks, I do appreciate it. According to ACTU, retired teacher and former director of Gonneville School, Jean Douzin, 43, was president of Illitterans, a group that helped volunteer migrants. Douzin was found dead this morning at his home, believed to have been beaten with an iron rod as he slept. Migrants, who Douzin was hosting, sounded the alarm when they found the educator's body, or the educator's dead body, according to Quest France. Now, there was a little clip by this guy, too. I wanted to play that and see what we could... I do think it's subtitled. I didn't have time to look at it right before I came on here because I just saw the story. Yeah, beaten to death with an iron rod as he slept. Let's see if this is subtitled or not. No, it's not. Okay. Never mind. I don't think the... Let's see if the closed caption actually works. Yeah, it's not going to be good, I think. Auto-translate. Oh, jeez. Okay, well, let's try. Let's see what they say in the report here. This is a little, I'm winging this here, guys. I didn't intend to play the clip here. Let's see what they
say. Vous avez rappelé les faits. Effectivement, hier matin, un jeune Afghan âgé de 21 ans s'est rendu au domicile de Jean Ducine et l'a tué à l'aide d'un objet contondant. Il a aussitôt été interpellé à l'aide de plusieurs migrants qui étaient présents sur place. Il faut le savoir, Jean Ducine hébergeait chez lui des réfugiés, des demandeurs d'asile, et ce depuis plusieurs années. Son investissement comme président de l'association Itinérance depuis 2016 est total, et sa mort a provoqué un véritable choc ici à Chine. Et une incompréhension d'autant que le mobile de ce que le procureur qualifie pour le moment d'assassinat n'a pu être déterminé. Il n'a absolument pas rejeté les accusations portées contre lui, mais n'a apporté aucune explication. Il n'était visiblement pas connu des services de police, ni même de l'association. Il devrait prochainement être conduit à Coutances au pôle criminel pour être entendu et placé en détention provisoire.
All right, remaining custody. They don't know why or what happened yet or why they was dinning. They were all shocked, they said there too. All right, well, that's how it goes, right? That's how it goes. Speaking of France, check this out. The European housewife over on Twitter, she has some good tweets. Recommend you follow her. She tweeted this photo and said, school children's new normal in France. This is total insanity. I think there's a lot of parents thinking about the benefits of homeschooling during this pandemic. She writes, check it, the squares that the kids are now, they're allowed to play, right? They're allowed to play, but you gotta stay inside of the square. I think even Independent covered this too. Heartbreaking photo shows nursery children in France forced to play in isolation chalk squares, I should say, after lockdown. The children play, dance, jump, laugh together, but from this square. Jeez. Pretty crazy stuff. Here's the, I guess, the original image, the tweet. Crazy stuff, huh? Well, speaking of crazy stuff, here's Pompeo showing up in Israel. He was very proud, of course, speaking about the united effort by both America and Israel to fight COVID. Pompeo dons fashionable flag-themed mask at Israeli airport, then takes it off for meetings. Of course he does, but he had kind of the, I don't know if you can see the picture properly, they had the Israeli and American colors kind of merged, I guess, in his very trendy face mask. That's all Hillary Clinton was calling, of course, the face mask, the must-have accessory of this year. So, you know, but you take it off then later when you have meetings, so you just want to... you just want to have it kind of when you're walking on the airport to the car. That's when it's good to have it. Here's some photos here. Let's take a look at this. The wonderful Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. here he is there landing in presumably Tel Aviv or somewhere, Jerusalem maybe, and donning a very fashionable face mask with the Israeli colors on it. Very good stuff. Oh, this one too, by the way, from European Housewives. She said this: my daughter is a nurse in the CV19, the coronavirus 19 ward at the hospital. A man dying of cancer came in, and they tested him for COVID-19. His results were negative 4 times, and the 5th test, he said he was tested positive for coronavirus or CV19. His mother was then told she could no longer see him, and he died alone. How about that? So they had to test him 4 times. We showed this right in the last show, but I can bring it up again. Is that not saved? the Al Jazeera piece. Let me see if I can find the other one here. Regarding how you test, what happens when, like, Tanzania tests, right? You guys see that? God, I can't find that now. That's a bummer. I have to pull it up later then. But the goat, motor oil, and a papaya all tested positive for coronavirus. They've kind of trolled the their own testing facility. I guess that the president there in Tanzania is skeptical of, like, I guess, like, Western interference or, like, the World Health Organization, stuff like that. So they decided to take samples from random things, essentially, but still giving them names. They gave them names and ages and all that kind of stuff, where they were from and stuff, handed over, to, of course, to the laboratory that tests the result. And all of it tested positive. So this is how they do it. The man, obviously, dying of cancer, doesn't test positive four times. The fifth times he does test positive. And then, of course, his death is going to go down as a COVID death as well. Although he was dying of cancer, right? Unbelievable. So Twitter is stepping up to the plate as well regarding the censorship, regarding what's happening. Because YouTube, of course, has been horrendous. Facebook as well. Twitter, as far as I know, so far, have been somewhat okay, right? You can link to things. There are things still censored, of course. InfoWars reported on this here. I think it's Steve Watson. Twitter to censor COVID-19 conspiracy theories with warnings. These warnings will inform people that the information in the tweet conflicts with public health experts' guidance before they view it. And we'll get into that, of course, here today in depth when it comes to what this recommendation, what these recommendations actually are, right? And that they themselves have a lot of question marks. They themselves have been very inconsistent with a lot of the data. And therefore, you'd think that it would be reasonable for the public to also continue to question this and share information that contradicts, or for that matter, maybe contradicted initially, but then supports their views, or supports their view initially, but then contradicts it because of the fact that the health authorities are changing their minds all the time, right? So it's pretty crazy. But yeah, check this out here. Twitter to censor content related to COVID.
COVID? Because of COVID, we have to...
Oh, God, I'm so sick of it already. COVID-19 with warning labels if it does not comply with the guidance of public health experts, in a move sure to be seen as the latest in by big tech companies to suppress information on the global pandemic. The company said the warnings will extend to anything deemed to be out of step with the advice of health authorities. And again, all these are not in lockstep either, by the way. There are different conflicting information given out depending on where you are, depending on what body you listen to, etc. The move is to provide users with additional context. Just additional context, folks. Don't worry about it. According to Public Policy Director Nick Pickles. Mr. Nick Pickles says, launching today, we're announcing new labels and warning messages that will provide additional context and information on some tweets containing disputed or misleading information related to COVID. All right. The warning messages will conceal the tweet from view, or in other words, censor it, unless the user clicks through to it. That's right. You don't see, are there any examples here we can look at here? There we go. So here's what it's going to say. There's a Big Brother saving you here from the dangerous information. Some or all of the content shared in this tweet conflicts with guidance from public health experts regarding
COVID.
19. It's amazing. So a couple of D Live here come in. A Mary Arian, I think it is. A Mary Arian. Oh, it has a ring to it. Donuts a diamond. It says, stop bleeping out swears on Weekend Warrior. Yeah, I did it two times. I thought it was worth it. I thought it was kind of funny to do it, actually. I thought it had more effect to do that, but I'm glad you're paying attention. Sometimes we try to not use foul language, frankly, and I've been bad at that lately because there's been a lot of things we've been upset about. But we try not to, and occasionally we tweet it out. You know, we try to keep it clean. But you know, I appreciate that. We might not do it in the future. We'll take it under advisement. Thank you, Marianden. Okay, so here's another screenshot, I guess, regarding. Okay, what it is that's hidden, that's right. So you can view it, and then it's a video or something. These warnings will inform people, here's the chart here, I guess. These warnings will inform people that the information in the tweets conflict with public health experts. Tweets targeted by the warnings will include merely casting doubt on the need to practice social distancing or wearing a mask, according to reports. The company says it has a tiered system in place to determine how severe the conspiracy theory really is. Propensity for harm. This is just... God, this is so cringe. Misleading information. Got a yellow label, I guess. Removal has a red label. Disputed claim. I love how these social media companies are now the arbiters of truth. Kind of like Facebook all of a sudden started with, like, we need to sort out, like, there can be a disputed issue, which, like, even science hasn't settled yet. I mean, it's never settled in a way, right? That's what's so great about science. It continues. It evolves. Things we thought to have been proven with science 20 years ago was later on reformed and revised because people and the scientists studying this continued. And they found inconsistencies, etc. And it just continues. It's never a kind of a set game, right? But even things that are, like, openly recognized to be in dispute, or maybe everything hasn't been settled, even that kind of stuff, they're limiting and restricting, and, you know, you can't offer different perspectives on it and stuff like that. It's unbelievable. Twitter told PC Mag that, for example, a tweet that says wearing a mask will get you sick could easily be adopted and put people at risk. A tweet that says COVID came from a lab in China, on the other hand, poses no immediate risk to causing harm. Coronavirus misinformation found to be moderately harmful will carry a label under the content that says get the facts about COVID-19. And will it's basically what YouTube is doing, right? If you had a video that shares a different view on things, most of they censor now actually, but despite that, they have a little link underneath that they, you know, talk about global warming, they have it, talk about coronavirus, they have it, talk about 9/11, they have it, talk about I think even like USS Liberty now they have all this kind of nonsense, right? Certain historical events. Stuff like that, right? Remains unmentioned. Unmentionable, I guess we should call it. All right, you get the idea. Twitter is hitting hard. So we'll see what happens with the Twitter moving forward. Now, YouTube, speaking of that too, by the way, we can just cover this really quick here. Also from InfoWars, YouTube CEO admits users don't like boosting of authoritative mainstream channels, but they do it anyway. Of course, it doesn't matter, is the headline. YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki admits that the company knows its users don't like the video giant rigging its own algorithm to boost authoritative mainstream sources, but they do it anyway. For several years now, the company has artificially gamed its own search engine to ensure that independent content creators are buried underneath a wall of mainstream media content. This rigging is so severe that the company basically broke its own search engine. Exactly. I was going to say that. It's so hard to find something good. I have, and even how as bad as Google is, and of course it's part of the same company now, but as bad as Google is, I have an easier time just searching on Google. I never do anymore. I use Swiss Cows and some cases DuckDuckGo. There's others. But I have an easier time doing the search on Google for YouTube than I do on YouTube internally. And it's so bad and it's so broken that you basically cannot find anything anymore. Unbelievable. A wall of just nonsense. Jaron Sachs at 1418 sends a diamond on D-Lab and says, keep it clean. Absolutely. Well, we try to keep it clean. Thank you. Kiss Kardashian gifted a one-month sub to Jaffi Blaha, I guess it is. Thank you so much, Kiss Kardashian. She's a good content creator here over on D-Lab. Check her out. Do appreciate that. By the way, if there's anybody, let me pull these up real quick here. There's a couple of ways, of course, if you do want to join in, let me check if there's anything on Entropy Stream, just in case. That link is up and running right now, entropystream.live/redicetv. That's a good way. If you want to send a super chats, of course, that's free speech. They're very good. They're working against kind of the YouTube super chat system and stuff like that. And people who are still on YouTube can use it, but even people who are on DLive and other platforms can use it as well. So check that out if you want to contribute, or of course over on DLive, dlive.tv/redicetv, or for now, we have several lobby groups that are advocating for us to be removed from DonorBox and also from our current payment processor. We're still working on the back end of having better options there, and that should be completed here very shortly, but I believe for now that still works, donorbox.org/red-eyes. So I appreciate it, everyone sending a note over there if you want to. Otherwise, DLive, of course, works completely fine. Completely fine. Okay, let me swing back here. So this is kind of the main story I wanted to really address here today. Actually, I saw one. It's a couple of subs that came in. Let me do those real quick here, guys. Mr. Noseberg sends a Ninja Genie. Well, thank you, Noseberg. I appreciate that. And it says, Trump bucks for red ice. Oh, did you get your Trump bucks? Awesome. Fantastic. Actually, he sends one. Mr. Noseberg sends 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Ninja Genies. Holy shit. Well, thank you, Mr. Noseberg. I appreciate that. That's very, very kind of you. I do appreciate the support. Thank you for sending some of those fast Ninja Genies over on DLive. Very, very cool. Mr. Noseberg is a great supporter of on DLive. Thank you. And he also hands out five 1 month subscriptions. And the happy receivers is, well, appropriately named Happy Mom. Received one. Kung Flu Jackie Chan. I guess another one then, because he got one earlier. And also, oh boy, Kiwon 3 Intolerant something. Sorry, man, I butcher your name there. Received a sub. Jaron Saxa received a sub. And Conrad Kurz as well, also a good supporter of ours. Hope you're doing well, Conrad. So congrats to you guys. Thank you for handing those out as well, Mr. Noseberg. I do appreciate it. So anyway, let's get into it here. This was the main story. It was from today here. New York Times, get ready for a vaccine information war. So can read a little bit on this, and then I'm going to do an analysis from Michael Hoffman. Actually had some good takes on you know, putting this in perspective and stuff like that too. Historian Michael Hoffman. Social media is already filling up with misinformation about a COVID-19 vaccine months or years before one even exists. Now, I personally hope and pray to the gods that we will not get a vaccine, that it will be so difficult for them to create one that we don't have it. That would be the optimal scenario, and they keep struggling and all this kind of stuff. Chances are they will just... And if they can't do that, chances are they will just come up with something, essentially. They would just concoct something, and it will be, you know, CDC, FDA approved and all the stuff, and it'll be fine, and it'll be mandatory, right? The anti-vaccine community is more organized and strategic than many of its critics believe, Kevin Rose writes here. He says, the other night, midway through watching a clip, note, he wasn't watching the thing, he was watching a clip from Plandemic, a documentary that went viral on social media last week, spreading baseless lies and debunked nonsense about the coronavirus to millions of Americans overnight. I had a terrifying thought. What if we get a COVID-19 vaccine and half of the country refuse to take it? That's how he opens up here, right? So it's good. Also, of course, I kind of note on that. He says baseless lies and debunked nonsense about the pandemic. But nowhere in the New York Times have I seen them actually address the points raised in the video more than just try to discredit, of course, Judy Milkovitz, right? That's what I've seen. But this is how they do it. This is how mainstream media deals with these kinds of situations. They just call it debunked nonsense, baseless lies, and then they move on. And then they say, oh, okay. Okay, well, the authority, the New York Times, said that it was bunk. So why bother, right? Why do we even have to look at this? It's been debunked. He says, it occurred to me that all the misinformation we've seen so far, the false rumors that 5G cell phone towers fuel the virus, interesting take, fuel the coronavirus, that drinking bleach or injecting UV rays can cure it. Now, this specifically to that point, that was something that the mainstream media was running with after Trump had talked about actual existing UVA therapies that exist. There's a Mount Sinai a company, a biotech company working with Mount Sinai, the hospital, to develop a UVA virus killer, I guess, for lack of a better term, a cure, a therapy. And no one said drinking bleach. They just ran with this because Trump talked about a cleaning. Somehow, can we clean the body? So they ran with that. So that's just bullshit, right? Anyway, so you talked about the misinformation, blah, blah, blah. They can cure all these things, blah, blah, blah. That Dr. Fauci is part of an anti-Trump conspiracy. Maybe just a warm-up for a much bigger information war when an effective vaccine becomes available to the public. I like how he phrases that too. Can you imagine the money? Can you imagine the money of having mandatory 7 billion doses, and even the financial motivations of someone like Bill Gates, who already is one of the richest men in the world, right? 7 billion doses. Who's going to pay for it? The government will pay for it, of course. And of course, the company developing it is going to pocket it. We talked about Moderna a couple of weeks back. The company's working on an mRNA vaccine, which is never has been tested before, but it is essentially, in its most sinister form, it genetically alters your body to produce its own medicine, right? Very scary stuff. Very scary stuff. This war could pit public health officials and politicians against an anti-vaccine movement that floods social media with misinformation. Most of these people are censored already. Conspiracy theories and propaganda aimed at convincing people that the vaccine is a menace rather than a life-saving, economy-resuscitating miracle. How about, there we go. There we go. Rather than a life-saving, economy-rescuing miracle. That's all it is, folks. There's no reason to. And we'll break this down. We'll talk about this here in a moment. We'll show, actually, some clips as well on the discussions that are taking place inside of the vaccine safety, I wouldn't call them lobby, but the people that are slated on an international level to deal with these kinds of situations and vaccines and global pandemics and stuff like that, of actually how insecure they are themselves when it comes to the validity. We'll play Dr. Anthony Fauci again today to underline this point that these people do not have all the answers. In some cases, they do not even know what they're doing. And this is terrifying. But they have had this outwardly policy of saying, we know, you know, if it's safe, it's safe, shut up. And everyone who contradicts this stuff is a crazy conspiracy theorist. And that's the public line that they've been driving for a long time. But we'll go through this today, go through this material and show to you that there's a lot of questions. See if I can find that clip with Fauci, too. I'll definitely import that later. And we can take a look at some of the question marks that he has around this as well. All right. Anyway, he goes on here. I've been following the anti-vaccine community on and off for years, watching its members operate in private Facebook groups and Instagram accounts, and I've found that they are much more organized and strategic than many of their critics believe. Imagine that, being up against, like, big tech Silicon Valley companies having big pharma, millions of dollars at their disposal, and they're kvetching that small independent people who are concerned on Facebook groups are organized, and they can put us down in our place. Well, maybe it's because what they're offering is make more sense. How about that? What if you don't need millions of dollars? All you need is the truth. Or at least show that the other side try to sell it to us as safe isn't, that it isn't as safe as they claim it is, right? Maybe that's why there's success with the messaging, because most people are actually not dumb idiots, which these guys believe, but they can actually make up their own mind, and they can look at stuff when they see it, right? Let me see. Is this the one? I think it's this one. Let me just import that for later. We'll play that with Fauci, too. They are savvy. Imagine New York Times. Imagine New York Times writing something like this. They are savvy media manipulators, effective communicators, and experienced at exploiting the weakness of social media platforms. It's just the fucking people. Oh, man, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Wow. All right, I'm going to take a couple of these real quick here, guys, before we continue. Mr. Noseberg gives a one-month subscription to Pagan Bear. Appreciate that. Thank you. Shroon sends a diamond. SARS 2003 vaccine failed. COVID question mark, unsure. Yeah, I don't know much about this. So I know that SARS and you know, swine flu and stuff was like greatly exaggerated. And I still think some of the, I forget which one of them that was. It was one of them was actually worse than the coronavirus currently has been. We know there are chances that some of these things will change or whatever, but I doubt it, to be honest. Thank you, Shroon. I appreciate that. Dr. Silberman, a diamond. Thank you. No message. Boogaloo Champion Since a Ninja Genie, it says an Austrian painter was 6,000,000% right. I appreciate that. Thank you, Boogaloo Champion, for the Ninja Genie for account of you. HB Lovecraft's cat again donates a diamond. World War III is already here. It is an information war. Yeah, absolutely. I believe that that's correct. Remember, I think it was Alex. Of course, he named his thing InfoWars. But I remember, I think it was Hillary Clinton talking about that. How there's an information war and that we are losing. We're losing the information war. That's, of course, the reason for much of the censorship that we've seen, because if you can't compete with ideas, you'd figure this would be simple, right? If you're telling the truth and you have nothing to hide, you can just tell the truth, and that would stand on its own. But that's not how it works. So instead, you have to call it propaganda and sly tactics and stuff like that. But when you actually look at much, and of course there is some, you know, you can just believe everything. Obviously, there's weaved into this is some nuttery and kookery and stuff like that. But you dig out the nuggets and you realize, hey, there's a core, critical message here that shows us something different. And in many regards, it's not making up things or conjecture or something like that. It's actually using the word of the people themselves that are studying these things, using their studies, using their numbers and their figures, and realizing that, you know, something is amiss here. Anyway, thank you, HP Lovecraft's cat. Appreciate that. Shroon again, Sensei Diamond. No vaccine, you become a bioweapon. Muhahaha. Oh, is that so? If we don't, no vaccine, you become a bioweapon. Well, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. But the way that it should work, though, is that if the vaccine, correct me if I'm wrong, Shroon, but if the vaccine is effective, then the person who's taken the vaccine has obviously been protected from disease and getting the infection or the, you know, whatever it is. If it's a virus, an infection or something, I mean, COVID is an infection, right? It's there should be no need for you to be worried whether other people have done something or not. If you're concerned, you can take the vaccine, and according to what we're hearing about it is that's effective to get it to work. Now, I know that the line has changed in the last couple of, I think it's the last couple of years, really, when people have made this argument and said, well, it's more complicated than that. We have to have herd immunity. We have to have everybody taking it. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So then, you know, they expose themselves to this fact. Okay, so it doesn't work if you just take the vaccine and everyone else has it. It's still predicated on that every single person must take it. Of course, you do have people with immunodeficiencies, or they have issues with their immune system, they have prior conditions, kind of like the people that should have been quarantined during this lockdown and stuff like that. I mean, it's the first time in history that they have quarantined the healthy population. That's never happened before. It's always been that the population that's sick, or at least at risk, that is isolated, quarantined. They're taken away from society. The rest goes on. This is the first time ever that they've taken the healthy population and imposed quarantine measures on them. Anyway, I digress. Back to the point, they've changed their line with this idea of herd immunity. Everybody has to take it, otherwise it won't work, kind of thing, which I just think is, frankly, is bullshit. The efficiency of these vaccines should be then, you'd think, that it works on, you can't just single out an already immunocompromised group and say, well, this is the reason why everyone else have to adapt to them. I mean, I know that they're doing that. It's the same within politically correct society, essentially. It's an adaptation to, or a, the lowest common denominator. That's how I put it. Whatever the lowest common denominator is, that's what everyone has to adjust to, right? That exists within the equality kind of bullshit that they're pushing with the PC agenda, but it's also true within the vaccine issue. That if there's someone that has massive issues, well, then the rest of the world need to adapt to them, and they need to get them medicated or vaccinated and stuff like that. I just don't buy that. I think it's bullshit. Thank you, Shroon. A Merry Folk donates a diamond. Get in the pod and eat the bugs. Dad's right. Thank you, A Merry Folk. John Saxa, 1418. Clown shoes. Ha ha. Did I miss something? Clown shoes? I'm sorry, I was babbling on here. Maybe I missed something fun. So, did someone say clown shoes in the? I don't think so. Anyway, thank you, man. I'm sorry for that missed me completely, but thank you though. I appreciate it. Silosopher gifts a one-month sub to CBA. Appreciate that. Thank you. Another from Silosopher to, where's that? Two months, I guess, to CBA. Appreciate that. Wondergoy sends a diamond. It says, Red Ice was my red pill back in 2012. Thank you, Henrik. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's cool. That's good to know. You've been with us for a long time then. I appreciate that. Very, very kind. Silosopher, another one-month sub to Wondergoy. Thank you. Vulture Man. An ice cream. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you to everyone donating ice creams and lemons and stuff like that, too. I do appreciate that very much. I just don't have time to read all of them because I'll be do nothing else. So I appreciate all of you. We'll just stick to the diamonds and up. Otherwise, we have too much time reading everything. So Lossifer again gifts a one-month sub to Who, What, When, Where. Thank you. Appreciate that. And another one to So Blessed Bear, too. Shroon sends a diamond and says, mean infected person is BioWhip. Hey, well, no, I got that. I get that. Absolutely. Exactly. The person who has it, right? But again, sensibly, I don't know how the thing works with the mutations and stuff like that. And it feels like they will continue to push this. That's why they're talking about the seasonal flu vaccine right now, right? That you're going to go get your free flu shot. You'll get it every season because it mutates, it's something different. So we'll see. Maybe that's what they push. But reasonably, again, if everyone else was concerned, takes the vaccine and you walk around and are tested positive, that person should not be able to affect those that have taken the vaccine. Reasonable, right? But if there are mutations, of course, then yeah, we're in a different situation. JC Stalling sends it down and says, Hail Henrik, Hail Red Ice. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Jorn Saxa 1418 again says, it's a crazy world. It's all clown shoes, I mean. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I got that. It's all, it's Hong Kong. Definitely. Thank you, Jorn Saxa. I appreciate that. All right, so let's switch over to this one. I thought that this was a good kind of analysis. I'm not going to go through all of the New York Times piece. Might do a specific video on that later or so because it's just so outrageous. But let's check out this one a little bit from Michael Hoffman. I was at David Hoffman. Michael Hoffman. Regarding this, the New York Times piece, we just went through some portions of here. People may be required to take a COVID-19 vaccine before flying on airlines, attending school, or entering businesses, he writes. The New York Times is no longer engaged in journalism. It's fighting a war and recruiting troops who've decided in advance that a coronavirus vaccine will generally be safe. Those who express significant doubts are dangerous propagandists. Excuse me. In today's New York Times on Tech column, Shiva Ovid writes, ready the troops for a misinformation war. My colleague Kevin Rose worries that anti-vaccine activists will spin reasonable concerns about a potential coronavirus vaccine into widespread unfounded fears about its safety. He says that public health officials, internet companies, and all of us must lay the groundwork now to restore people's faith in medicine. Stop bogus information from spreading and reach loved ones who are susceptible to anti-vaccine propaganda. Trust us, New York Times, we've never lied before. We didn't get nations into war. We've always told you the truth. We never have nefarious objectives. It's interesting how this is developing. Then Michael Hoffman here writes, here's Mr. Rose's a zealot masquerading as an open-minded journalist writing in today's New York Times. His first paragraph is the most ominous, but the rest of what he writes is a not-so-subtle push to criminalize doubts about vaccines, indict skeptics as polluters of people's minds. Mr. Rose's own words. Neither Ovid or Rose or their cited medical experts, high priests whom we are expected to kneel to, have a word to say about building natural immunity. Isn't that interesting? What happened to that? You can't make money on building natural immunity. You can't, well, have potential other side effects of letting nature take its course and are, you know, if you believe in God or the gods or nature, whatever you believe in, the however we were given or handed or how it was created, these amazing mechanisms that we have to deal with things which are naturally occurring in our environment, talking about viruses, bacteria, all kinds of stuff, right? That this has been the case for millions of years. And yes, some people died, and that's how they heard, advances forward. That's how we become stronger instead of weaker and weaker over time. We haven't historically replaced our immune system with a tyrannical government policy that says you have to stay inside because otherwise you'll get sick, right? I mean, the numbers are so low anyway. This is nonsensical. It's ridiculous. But they're still pushing it. The New York Times announces support for a good idea. He continues to write, if and when a COVID vaccine is approved for widespread use, people may be required to take it before being allowed to fly on certain airlines. I would assume everywhere. Attend certain schools or enter certain businesses. That's a good idea, public health-wise, but it would play into some of the worst fears of the anti-vaccine movement, you think? Questions for Mr. Rose, and one he should have raised in his column. How are the airlines, the schools, and businesses going to identify someone who has submitted to the vaccine? By what mark, by what sign or other identification will vaccination submission be determined? This, of course, why Bill Gates and these people were talking about digital certificates. Is why people have been talking about ID 2020. This is why people have been talking about the fact that they need a something else on the side to this, right? An immunity passport. There's a number of these things. You can't enter now certain aspects of society or social life if you haven't submitted, right, to these kinds of issues. So, of course, Christians should be wary about this too, right? They have warnings in their scriptures about this. Is it permissible for us to ask a question George Orwell would probably have raised, or is he obsolete in the minds of current misinformation war? Kevin Rose of the New York Times continues writing here. Seeing platforms like Facebook and YouTube struggle to contain the spread of videos makes me worry that when the time comes to persuade billions of people to take a critical coronavirus vaccine, our public health officials and social media companies will be outgunned by a well-oiled anti-vaccine movement that has already polluted the air with misinformation and conspiracy theories. Can't they just address this head on? Can't they just deal with this like straight up and like just tell us the truth and we should have our worries settled? That's really how simple this is, right? Instead of labeling and calling us names and censorship and calling for, you know, and again, he's arguing that Facebook and YouTube are struggling to contain the spread of videos. All they've been doing is censoring. There's nothing getting through anymore. There's nothing. And now Twitter is up to bat next here. Take a couple of these guys. Shroon sends a diamond again, says common cold corona vaccine has never worked. Exactly, that's my point, the common cold. I mean, what is the flu vaccine then, Shroon, right? People go and take that every time. And of course, the CDC, I think it was, or NIHS or whatever they're called, we showed that in a couple of shows back, that they said that there was very highly likely false positives that came in the wake of the seasonal flu vaccine, that if people had taken that and they go and test for COVID, chances were much higher that you get a false positive, which is interesting. John Saxa 1418 sends another diamond. Body sovereignty. Where did that go? Yeah, that's actually a point that Michael Hoffman brings up here. That's a good point. We'll get to that. Thank you. Frank Pliskin, a diamond. Say no to shots. Build a community around you now. Absolutely. Totally agree. Draconian Gimp of Death sends a diamond and says, thank you for writing. Dr. Lexus will be with you shortly. Thank you for waiting. Sorry, waiting instead of writing. Dr. Lexus will be with you shortly. As they're not getting the reference, is that like Dr. Lexus? Is that some like Marvel villain or something? Sorry, man. Appreciate it. I'll look it up later. Thank you. Jorn Sachs at 1418. Another diamond. They will have to kill me to give me that vaccine. Yeah, I understand you. I do understand you. I don't trust these people whatsoever. Boogaloo Champion donates a Ninja Genie. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. It says, put the pot in your ass. Be the bug. Well, that's it. That's a different take on things. Very interesting. Very interesting. Thank you, Boogaloo Champion. I appreciate the Ninja Genie. Shroon, diamond, I guess, an influenza. Different the vaccine I get. Sorry, I'm not following that. Different that vaccine I get. Is it different the... For influenza, I would assume that it is different, this thing that they'll develop, right? But, sorry, maybe that's a spelling error. I'm not following that. Sorry, Shroon. Boogaloo Champion sends a diamond for diapers and shit. Well, thank you. We do need diapers for the little boy. I appreciate that. Thank you. Boogaloo Champion again, a diamond. Thank you. Six rectum jammer. Six rex. God, I can't speak today. Let me try it again. Styx Rectum Jammer. There we go. Success. Haven't seen you in a while. Dude, hope you're doing well. Thank you. He sends a diamond. No message. Appreciate that. Good to see you back. Maybe you've been lurking all around. I appreciate it. Groy Plus sends a diamond. It says, aren't they trying to microchip us too? Some people are arguing that. Yep, definitely. The ID 2020 program are arguing the potentiality of some kind of digital certificate in the wake of this. We'll see how what happens with that, or we'll see what they push. Some people are arguing for very, very small microprocessors exists at this point. It could essentially go largely unnoticed. Don't know what to make it of all, but yeah, that's the theory. Kingfish Lips JFS sends a 1 month sub, or gives a 1 month sub, I believe, yeah, to Styx Rectum Jammer 666. Appreciate that. Goy Schmeckelstein, I think it is, sends a diamond. Appreciate that. All right, boys and girls, let me continue here. A lot more to cover about this here, but I want to show some videos in a little bit of actually what the World Health Organization, other people on the inside are talking about regarding the inconsistencies and questions surrounding vaccines. Mr. Rhodes next calls on the Chinese Communist Party allied World Health Organization to intervene in the internal affairs of the United States of America and commence a, quote, a hearts and minds campaign to persuade the American people to take vaccine. We can prevent that, but only if we start laying the groundwork before it's too late, Mr. Rose writes. Organizations like the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization need to understand the dynamics of online anti-vaccine communities and start waging a hearts and minds campaign to restore faith in the medical establishment while a vaccine is being developed. Imagine not even being able to recognize that these corrupt organizations have done so many mistakes in the past and largely responsible for why we are where we are today. So the very groups that have caused people to be skeptical are the very groups that are supposed to aid and help us in restoring faith in something that these incompetent or worse, evil people want to try to push on us. The New York Times is pressuring social media into becoming a clone of the subversive legacy media. While Rose does not employ the word censorship, nevertheless, he opines that millions of lives and trillions of dollars are at stake, and his message is clear. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube must join the New York Times in demonetizing and obstructing COVID-19 vaccine skepsis. That's already happened, by the way, most of it. What else can they do? They're banning everything. They're demonetizing everything. That's amazing. Social media companies need to take the threat of vaccine-related misinformation seriously. Millions of lives and trillions of dollars in economic activity may depend on not just producing a vaccine, but on persuading people accepting it. New York Times newspaper of record has dropped all pretenses of objectivity. The paper is engaged in a war of skepticism. Since all wars entail the use of propaganda, bodyguard of lies, as Churchill termed it in the course of advocating for it, they will use all the tools they utilize to make Americans believe that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and Brett Kavanaugh is a rapist to take down those of us who have little or no faith in the profit-driven pharmaceutical giants and their prostitute physicians' frontmen. Well put. These all-knowing priest experts, most of whom have signed off on abortion on demand at any stage of pregnancy, infanticide, are complicit in going along with or actually inducing cancer and ruinous side effects in people who have the doctors surgically and chemically transformed into another gender. That's true. The trans agenda, right? They're all in line with this. This is the physician priesthood that has yet to insist en masse that the chemical-laden slop, or he calls it meals, fed to patients in hospitals may be made healthy. Good point. Eating jello in the hospital is not going to make you well, folks. These people have like no clue whatsoever. They never talk about immunity, nutrition, vitamins, minerals, like having a healthy lifestyle, diet. This never enters these people's minds. Unbelievable. The New York Times cannot conceive of anyone other than a, quote, Bible-reading troglodyte would raise objections to the medical mafia in the wake of their discredited perpetration of these horrors. The medical priesthoods and the politician and media who are subordinate to them are now ruling our nation. Just as kings once ruled the old world. Excuse me. Our constitution and Bill of Rights have been suspended. The next step is shaming and, yes, coercion to push us into submitting to their vaccination needle. If you can't fly, go to schools, or enter a store without somehow first providing that you've taken Big Pharma's vaccine, that's coercion, and your body is decidedly not your own. It belongs to the state. That's right. It's a correct assessment of it. The abortionists, pro-choice, demands built on their "it's my body" claim to sovereignty seems to apply only to abortion. When it comes to vaccines, it's suddenly not your body. Apparently, body sovereignty can be turned on and off. Imagine that. And we've had better not dare to question the hypocrisy. We are expected to exhibit in the unquestioning conformity of this double standard that the New York Times demands of us, and if we want to be considered decent and caring people. If the Times were genuinely freedom-oriented newspaper rather than the house organ of leftist statism, it would raise the questions we raise, give a fair hearing to both sides of the controversy, and seek a meeting of the minds, respecting the views of people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and his very real and well-informed concerns. But it is Bill Gates who is favored with extensive coverage and supportive writing, while Mr. Kennedy is consigned to near oblivion. Journalism? Forget about it. Eternal vigilance is the prize of liberty. More than ever, our engagement with that duty is a requirement. Millions of lives and trillions of dollars, Hoffman writes here, are at stake. Good point. Some good takes there. Check him out. Michael Hoffman. We've had him on the show a couple of times. Revisionistreview.blogspot.com is his website. Good story on this here regarding the New York Times. All right, so let's switch over. Need some video. Here, rest my voice a little bit. Sorry, I got like hoarse right away when I just talked too much. Sorry, guys. But let's check out some of these videos here, because these show you kind of the skepticism and the questioning that goes on already inside of these institutions, right? You don't hear it publicly. One of the videos we'll look at, well, you do actually hear some publicly, but one of the videos we'll take a look at is actually from an inside meeting. It was actually leaked. It was presumably not meant to be consumed by the unwashed masses on the outside of these high priest temples in Geneva or wherever the hell they are, in New York or something. But here's Dr. Fauci speaking recently at the COVID hearing regarding the safety of vaccines. Listen to this.
Risk, which means we'll be investigating considerable resources in developing doses even before we know any given candidate or candidate's work. I must warn that there's also the possibility of negative consequences, where certain vaccines can actually enhance the negative effect of the infection. The big unknown is efficacy. Will it be present or absent? Risk. Which means we'll be investigating.
You get the idea. Listen to that ending part again. Listen to that. He said this before, by the way.
Possibility of negative consequences, where certain vaccines can actually enhance the negative effect of the infection. The big unknown.
So we're crazy for questioning this?
Known is efficacy. Will it be present or absent? Risk.
Will it be present or absent? What's going to happen? That's what Dr. Fauci says. What is going to happen? Are we going to just buy this when they themselves are not sure of it? Check this out. More on Dr. Fauci here. Yeah, do it like this. Here we go. Listen to this.
The issue of safety, something that I want to make sure the American public understand. It's not only safety when you inject somebody and they get maybe an idiosyncratic reaction, they get a little allergic reaction, they get pain. There's safety associated. Does the vaccine make you worse? And there are diseases in which you vaccinate someone, they get infected with what you're trying to protect them with, and you actually enhance the infection. You can get a good feel for that in animal models. So that's going to be interspersed at the same time that we're testing. We're going to try and make sure we don't have enhancement. So the worst possible thing you could do is vaccinate somebody to prevent infection and actually make them worse.
Can you imagine a time where Americans carry certificates of immunity?
You know, that's possible. I mean, it's one of those things that we talk about when we want to make sure that we know who the vulnerable people are and not. This is something that's being discussed. I think it might actually be have some merit under certain circumstances.
All right. So make of that what you will. We have some more here. We're going to look in a moment here at scientists themselves questioning the safety of vaccines. It's a little bit of a longer clip, but we'll check that out in a little bit here. A couple more of your super chats here real quick. I think we had a sub, Zweibol, I guess, resub for 1 month. Thank you for that. Boogaloo Champion as well, resubbed. Thank you. Draconian Gimp of Death sends a Ninja Guinea. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And he says, let me see here. There's no space. I know it's only, what, 50 characters or something, so it's a little bit hard reading. Don't want to sound like a dick or nothing, but says on your chart you fucked up. You talk like a fag and your shit's all retarded. You're all retarded. Thank you for that. Not sure what that's a reference to, but someone who has a chart, I would assume that they fucked up. Anyway, thank you. I appreciate that. Shroon Sensei Diamond says, I really trust you don't need a mask, Fauci. Yeah, you don't need masks. Don't worry. They went back and forth on this all the time. It's ridiculous using it. Now it's mandatory. Everybody has to use it. It's just, I mean, it's so pathetic, right? These people basically don't know what they're doing, and yet they're keeping up with this, you know, kind of attitude that we're supposed to just take them at face value. Whatever new thing they wing out at us, we have to accept this. Unbelievable. By the way, over on Donor Box, I see Conrad K sent a message. Thank you, Conrad. It sends $25 for a generous donation. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it very much. He says, all those siding with globalist ideas simply stupid, or are those siding with globalist ideas simply stupid or arrogant? He says, first step after communist revolution is to execute the revolutionaries so a second one can't happen. Now, that's historically true. And he goes on to say, they can't possibly think this doesn't include them. History has shown it again and again. Once again, hail to you and the chat. Well, thank you, Conrad. Well, yeah, we covered it in the Weekend Warrior show. I think it's just it's just a black hole of time-consuming nonsense that has opened up, and they're just trying to drag as many with them down as possible. It's not. We shouldn't take it seriously. It's nothing you should engage in because it just wastes your time. We have more pressing and important things to cover and try to warn people about, such as the stuff we're talking about today, than to engage in this just useless, time-consuming squabbling, frankly. It's not serious. It's a joke, right? So just that's my take on it, Conrad, to be honest. But thank you, though. I appreciate the support very much and the comment. Yeah, just stay away from it. I mean, you'll know it by its fruits, right? What's the fruit? What's the end result? Look at that. If you don't like that, if you don't agree, or if it just doesn't make sense, just move on. All right, so let's watch this here. Very interesting stuff from the inside. So this is from the World Health Organization on their Global Vaccine Safety Summit that took place on the 2nd and 3rd of December in 2019. So this was very, well, I mean, the December, 2 weeks after this, we started hearing about the outbreak in China, essentially. It's a longer clip, but I might pause it in between. Depends on. Sorry, guys. I'm just going to rest my voice a little bit. I go sore when I speak English for too long. So let's look at this. Very interesting stuff. Pay attention, and we'll see what you think. But again, I might pause in between. But here we go. Check it out.
There's a lot of safety science that's needed, and without the good science, we can't have good communication. So although I'm talking about all these other contextual issues and communication issues, it absolutely needs the science as the backbone. You can't repurpose the same old science to make it sound better if you don't have the science that's relevant to the new problem. So we need much more investment in safety science.
I think we cannot overemphasize the fact that we really don't have very good safety monitoring systems in many countries, and this adds to the miscommunication and the misapprehensions because we're not able to give clear-cut answers when people ask questions about the deaths that have occurred.
I have to pause there, but this is, this is the most important thing, right? In other words, the reason why people are skeptical are well-founded because they're not giving straight answers and they recognize this fact. So this is why they have to shut everything down. This is why they have to censor. They have to ridicule. They have to call these people names. You're anti-vaxxer. You're kook. You're conspiracy theorists. You're a maniac. You're all this bullshit, right? All this bullshit. And then they, behind closed doors, remember, this was not meant to get out. Behind closed doors, they recognize this fact. Unbelievable.
I think we cannot overemphasize the fact that we really don't have very good safety monitoring systems in many countries, and this adds to the miscommunication and the misapprehensions because we're not able to give clear-cut answers when people ask questions about the deaths that have occurred due to a particular vaccine, and this always gets blown up in the media. One should be able to give factual account of what exactly has happened and what the cause of deaths are. But in most cases, there's some obfuscation at that level, and therefore there's less and less trust then in the system.
Right. So just tell us
every
the
time.
What do you have? What is it that's a question mark around? Be open and be honest about that then. Tell us what's going on. Share it with us instead of that elitist attitude of just like shut up and do what we tell you to do, because that will create suspicion. If there's no problem, you guys have nothing to hide, everything is good, just tell us the truth. It's really that simple.
That there is an association, be it temporal or not temporal, the first accusation is it is the adjuvant. And yet, without adjuvants, we are not going to have the next generation of vaccines. And many of the vaccines that we do have, ranging from tetanus through to HPV, require adjuvants in order for them to work. So the challenge that we have in front of us is, how do we build confidence in this? And the confidence, first of all, comes from the regulatory agencies. I look to Marianne. When we add an adjuvant, it's because it is essential. We do not add adjuvants to vaccines because we want to do so.
Now, I looked it up the other day because maybe it's just maybe all English speaker, they know what adjuvants is, but it's... The etymology of the word is to aid, essentially something to help along something else. He's talking about, for example, the mercury that they add in vaccines, thimerosal. Some of these, of course, are preservatives, but many of them are what they call activators. They're meant to kickstart the vaccine, right? The problem with mercury is, of course, it's an aluminum. Actually, I should say, sorry, mercury is the preservative thing. Confused with the two for a second. Aluminum is the activator. Somehow there's something that kickstarts the vaccine. I'm not quite sure how exactly that works, but the problem with aluminum is that it's a heavy metal, but it can actually pass your blood-brain barrier. And in doing so, it can take with it toxins and other kinds of things. And of course, some of these vaccines are just cocktails full of stuff. You're just flabbergasted. Like, why do they need to put all these things in there? There are some of them that add aspartame. They are this controversy regarding the fact that they add, cells, I guess, or cell material from like aborted fetuses and stuff like this, right? There's a lot of things in here which people have objections to, and they claim that they have to have this. We have to have these adjuvants to kickstart things. But again, that doesn't matter. Like if you have a certain procedure. With immunization, and you have to have all these toxic things in it for it to work, that still remains. It might be for them, it might be for a greater good purpose or whatever. But if the side effects or the side issues that is pertaining to it that they need to activate it is making you worse and can make you sick, can cause you to die, can cause you to have all these other injuries, obviously it's dangerous. It's like playing Russian roulette, and they recognize this. This is why they have a $4 billion payout fund of vaccine injuries that's handled not by the pharmaceutical companies that have developed them, but by the state, in other words, by the taxpayer. So the medical company can develop a vaccine that causes injuries among some people. They can go on and sue them, this vaccine injury compensation board, or whatever they call it. And then the state has to pay out, not the pharmaceutical companies, because they were protected. They got a special liability law. I forget, it was 1980s, I think it was 80s or early 90s, where they said that you couldn't have class action lawsuits against these big pharma companies when it comes to vaccines. So they're protected. Whatever they do, can never sue them. Think about that. And they've paid out $4 billion.
But when we add them, it adds to the complexity. And I give courses every year on how do you develop vaccines, how do you make vaccines. And the first lesson is, while you're making your vaccine, if you can avoid using an adjuvant, please do so. Lesson two is, if you're going to use an adjuvant, use one that has a history of safety. And lesson three is, if you're not going to do that, think very carefully.
Wait a minute. Is he just saying, he's just saying three requirements. If it's not safe, think very carefully. He's not saying don't do it or stop it or for the love of God, just make sure it's 100% safe and documented. Otherwise, it's dangerous and we shouldn't do it. No, he says just think about it. Think about it carefully.
Yeah, on how do you develop vaccines? How do you make vaccines? And the first lesson is, while you're making your vaccine, if you can avoid using an adjuvant, please do so. Lesson two is, if you're going to use an adjuvant, use one that has a history of safety.
Well, no shit, Sherlock. Can you imagine this is the stuff that they're talking about here? So you think this was not even beyond discussion at this point. This would be nailed down requirements by law in terms of what you have to do when it comes to using things that are documented safe, right?
And lesson three is, if you're not going to do that, think very carefully.
Yeah, so they can do it. They're allowed to do it. They're allowed to do it. That's what he's saying.
But he's urging them,
just think about it.
That adjuvants multiply the immunogenicity of the antigens that they are added to, and that is their intention. It seems to me they multiply the reactogenicity in many instances. And therefore, it seems to me that it is not unexpected if they multiply the incidence of adverse reactions that are associated with the antigen, but may not have been detected through lack of statistical power in the original studies.
You are correct. As we add adjuvants, especially some of the more recent adjuvants, such as the AS01, saponin-derived adjuvants, we do see increased local reactogenicity.
Now, I don't know if you guys, I haven't looked up that actually yet. AS01, saponin-derived adjuvants. I've not heard of that, about that. I have to try to Google that.
And derived adjuvants. We do see increased local reactogenicity.
Use a different search engine. Sorry, I flabbed up.
The primary concern, though, usually is systemic adverse events rather than local adverse events. And we tend to get in the phase two and the phase three studies quite good data on the local reactogenicity. Those of us in this room that are beyond the age of 50 who have had the pleasure of having the recent shingles vaccine will know that this does have quite significant local reactogenicity. If you got the vaccine, you know that you got the vaccine. But this is not the major health concern. The major health concern which we are seeing are accusations of long-term effects. So to come back to this, I'm going to once again point to the
accusations. Are they true or are they not? Reactogenicity. I'm just looking up that too. I would assume that it means you can have, it shows, physically shows, like you see a big red bump or something like that, or like a swelling, or you know, you get some kind of result, I would assume, right? Anyway, looking up that other one too, the AS01 adjuvant systems helping to overcome the challenges of modern medicine. There are a couple of papers on this here. Too much to go through live right here, but I'm looking to see if there's any details I can find for you guys while we listen to the rest of the video here.
Regulators, it comes down to ensuring that we conduct the phase two and the phase three studies with adequate size and with appropriate measurement.
So in our clinical trials, we are actually using relatively small sample sizes. And when we do that, we're at risk of tyranny of small numbers, which is you just need a single case of Wegener's granulomatosis. And
all right, let me clarify. Yeah, the reactogenicity. It's not only if you get like a physical signature, I guess, where you actually took the shot. It includes other things like direct consequences or direct effects. We could include you get a fever right away. A sore arm, you're feeling it in the injection site, other kind of symptoms that develop like right away. And for them, that's like, oh, That means it's working. you got it, and we can see right away you got it.
Your vaccine has to solve Walt's, how do you prove a null hypothesis? And it takes years and years to try to figure that out. So it's a real conundrum, right? Getting the right size, dealing with the tyranny of small numbers, making sure that you can really do it. And so I think one of the things that we really need to invest in are kind of better biomarkers, better mechanistic understanding of how these things work, so we can better understand adverse events as they come up.
One of the
what it tells you here, you understand that. I know that you're understanding this. I just want to underline this to you that what we're looking at is a group of people responsible for the safety discussing the fact that there's a lot of unknowns, a lot of things that are recognizably not safe. And they're accepting this reality that there are issues here that needs to be dealt with, especially even when it comes to the public, how to communicate these things properly. But outwardly, they pretend this is not an issue. The science is settled. There's never any issues, right?
Additional issues that complicates safety evaluation is if you look at and you struggle with the length of follow-up that should be adequate in a, let's say, pre-licensure or even post-marketing study, if that's even possible. And again, as you mentioned, pre-licensure clinical trials may not be powered enough. It's also the subject population that you administer the adjuvant to, because we've seen data presented to us where an adjuvant, a particular adjuvant added to a vaccine antigen, did really nothing when administered to a certain population, and it's usually the elderly, you know, compared to administering the same formulation to younger age strata. So these are things which need to be considered as well and further complicate safety and effectiveness evaluation of adjuvants combined with vaccine antigens.
I cast back my mind to our situation in Nigeria, where at 6 weeks, 10 weeks, 14 weeks, a child is being given different antigens from different companies. And these vaccines have different adjuvants, different preservatives, and so on. Something crosses my mind. Is there a possibility of these adjuvants, preservatives, cross-reacting amongst themselves? Have they ever been...
No. That's totally unreasonable. There's no way that any of these things interact with each other. Everything is just isolated in its own little universe, and you can take 500 different things, but, you know, you take them at different times, or they're separate. Don't worry about that. Just it's fine. Amazing this has to be brought up, frankly.
A study on the possibility of cross-reactions from the panel members, that you can share the experience with us.
Now, the only way to tease that out is if you had a large population database like the Vaccine Safety Data Link, as well as some of the other national databases that are coming to being, where the actual vaccine exposure is tracked down to that level of specificity of who is the manufacturer, what is the lot number, et cetera, et cetera. And there's initiative to try to make the vaccine label information barcoded so that it includes that level of information, so that in the future, when we do these type of studies, we're able to tease that out. and in order to as each time you subdivide, then the sample size gets becoming more and more challenging. And that's what I said earlier today about that we're really only in the beginning of the era of large data sets, where hopefully you could start to harmonize the databases for multiple studies. And there's actually an initiative underway. Helen there may want to comment on it, to try to get more national vaccine safety database linked together so we could start to answer these type of questions that you just raised.
The other thing that's a trend and an issue is not just confidence in providers, but confidence of healthcare providers. We have a very wobbly health professional frontline that is starting to question vaccines and the safety of vaccines. When the frontline professionals are starting to question, or they don't feel like they have enough confidence about the safety to stand up to it to the person asking them the questions. I mean, most medical school curriculums, even nursing curriculums, I mean, in medical school, you're lucky if you have a half day on vaccines.
That's right, a half day on vaccines. No. It's totally, this is what I'm saying. All these people that are trying to sell you that it's safe, so few of them have looked into it for themselves, right? It's this constant appeal to authority that it's like, well, someone above my pay grade have made sure that all of this is fine, no problems, nothing to worry about. They would never. And then you realize it's not, you know, might not be, of course, intentional all the way. It might be ineptitude, might be, you know, people are insecure or whatever, but it's enough that it's not, they mentioned here, the long-term studies are not there, there's not enough databases, they don't understand, they don't know, there's so many questions, how do we communicate this, why do you have to add all these adjuvants? I mean, all of these things are valid things that many people outside, the so-called anti-vaxxers, raise on a continuous basis and level. Why is it out of bounds when we do it? When they sit on their own safety summit meetings just a couple of months ago talking about the same very issues.
Never mind keeping up to date with all this.
There we go. If the top health officials in the world are questioning the safety of vaccines, why aren't you? Right? Basic. Pretty basic stuff. So let me show you this real quick here. I'll take a couple more of your donations here on DLive. So a couple more came in, but so this is another one. I think it was Alex Jones had a thing about this, but Dr. Suyamra Svarmatihan. Sorry, I keep don't know how to pronounce it. She was in the other video there, and she was one of the ladies talking at the very beginning here. This lady, listen to what she said again here about the communication, right?
Overemphasize the fact that we really don't have very good safety monitoring systems in many countries, and this adds to the miscommunication and the misapprehensions, because we're not able to give clear-cut answers when people ask questions about the deaths that have occurred due to a particular vaccine, and this always gets blown up in the media.
It doesn't get blown up in the media. A lot of media are funded by big pharma companies. A lot of them don't question it. I think companies like CNN, most of their revenue comes from big pharma companies. Most of cable TV and other kind of news, especially in the US, of course, have just a constant barrage of pharmaceutical commercials and stuff like that. So they would not question this, right? But so that's what she's saying. Listen to what she says outwardly. So that was caught on camera internally on their own safety summit. That's the line of questioning there. This is what she says in a video released by, I think it was the World Health Organization, the UN, some UN body. Listen to this here.
Here's the head of it.
Vaccines are very safe. If someone gets sick after vaccination, it is usually either a coincidence, an error in administering the vaccine, or very rarely a problem with the vaccine itself. That's why we have vaccine safety systems. Robust vaccine safety systems allow health workers and experts to react immediately to any problems that may arise.
Yeah, don't worry. If there is an issue, we'll deal with it right away. Just don't worry. It's all very safe.
They can examine the problem rigorously and scientifically, look at the data, and then promptly address the problem. WHO works closely with countries to make sure that vaccines can do what they do best, prevent disease without risks. New vaccines against malaria, meningitis, and encephalitis in Asia and Africa are now being thoroughly monitored with support from WHO.
We're monitoring the situation, just in the same way that Trump is monitoring the censorship situation. In other words, nothing is being done about it. You have casualties every single day, but don't worry about it. We're watching it. Anyway, you get the idea. And then so contrast that to what you said internally in the meeting. A lot of questions. How do we deal with this? Blah, blah, blah. I just find it unbelievable. And I think you think about that too. Think about the number of people that are also like actively urging you not to look at this, saying that it's something wrong if you question these things, if you can bring these things to the table question it? Because, I mean, you have to make the decision yourself, how you want to move forward, both for your own health, of course, for your own body, but also that of your children, if you have kids, for example, right? Do you want to play Russian roulette? Because that's what it is at this point. I should have pulled that up, that link. I'll see if I can find it later. But $4 billion, I believe it was, in the vaccine injury fund, paid by taxpayers, by the way. Big Pharma getaway, scot-free, no guilt, no nothing, no repercussion for them. They can just churn on as usual. And they're urging you and trying to shame you into thinking that it's something wrong to raise concerns about these things, right? The wickedness of these people, the evil, evil attitudes of these people. It's just unbelievable. All right, let me do a couple more here. John Success says, gives his diamond and says, don't engage in black holes, smiley face. Absolutely. It's just, don't engage in black holes. We'll take that. I definitely agree. John Success again sends a diamond and says, adjuvants are a bad thing that make others not so bad. Oh, is that how they claim it is working or something? Yeah. I appreciate that. Shroon, a diamond. See scary SARS link. Yeah, I did pull that up. Let me see. This is the one right here. I guess you guys can check it out too. Search for it or check the link in the chat. Maybe you can dunk it again in the chat room. Immunization with SARS coronavirus vaccine leads to pulmonary immunopathology on challenge with the SARS virus. I'd have to go through this in more detail later. Background, severe acute respiratory syndrome. SARS emerged in China in 2002. And spread to other countries before brought under control because of concerns for re-emergence and deliberate release of the SARS coronavirus, vaccine development was initiated. Evaluations of an inactivated whole virus vaccine in ferrets and non-human primates and a virus-like particle vaccine in mice induced protection against infection, but challenged animals exhibited in immunopathology type lung disease. Yeah, see, there's other issues, other consequences, right? There was something else too. I forget what that was. They were trying to fix one issue essentially, and then I forget what it was in relation to. They try to fix one issue, and they you know, give you something or whatever, and then another pops up, and it's just. I mean, again, it's just. I have to go through this in more detail. Thank you for the links, Shroon. I appreciate that. Too much to go through right now, but I do appreciate that. I'll go through the introduction later. See what they're right about this. Yeah, because SARS-CoV-2 is, of course, what they call COVID-19, of course, now. Okay, well, interesting. Check it out. Let's put it in the link in the chat again. I'll do that. Put it in there. Check it out if you guys want to read that. I'll check it out later, too, in more detail. Thank you, Shroon. I appreciate that. Okay. So, moving on here a little bit, a couple of more stories I'm going to cover regarding, we talked about Fauci. We talked about, you know, kind of how he sees some of these problems. He talks about issues with vaccines. He talks about, at the same time, different information, like contradictory information, especially when it comes to death rates and stuff like that. But here he is now during this hearing talking about how warning Congress about reopening. This is one of the big things they've done, right? Absolutely, do not reopen sooner than, you know, you got to wait, you got to wait. That risks more outbreaks. And they will backfire on local economies. Don't worry. People are just already losing their homes, lost their jobs, and they want to continue this stuff. The video is too long. It's 7 minutes long, so I'm not going to play it. Dr. Anthony Fauci warned Congress that some states are prematurely reopening businesses, risking additional outbreaks and deaths, particularly among the vulnerable populations. Now, so what you do is you isolate and you quarantine the vulnerable populations. That's how we always have dealt with these things. Not by shutting everything down and killing. I mean, I know this thing about Trump or whatever, but it's like, sometimes I wonder these people if they're like, I mean, as much as the mainstream media, just, I mean, they despise Trump. I mean, they really, they're psychotic. I mean, they have derangement syndrome. They want this guy out and they don't care about the consequences. I know that there's a lot of other things weaved into this, but I don't discount that part of this psychosis surrounding the lockdown and stuff is this issue that, like, these people are willing to burn everything to the ground to get what they want, right? They want going into the election in 2020. And I'm not a Trump guy. I don't care much for the guy. But it's clear that these people in opposition, in media and so forth, the progressive lib establishment in the Democrats and so forth are on that page, that they want Trump to have the worst economy ever, to be responsible for the highest unemployment ever and stuff like that. That's nothing you can discount. That's another kind of agenda that's like weaved into all of this, that these people are so psychotic, they're willing to like destroy the country to get sure that they get, you know, they are guy in government, essentially. And again, look at Trump hasn't done anything, hasn't been a big issue, but these people still, you know, they believe this shit. They believe he's a white supremacist, he's destroying the whole country and stuff. I mean, these people are crazy, right? So I don't discount that that's part of this. That's why they're like, continue to push this as long as you possibly can, because they have this scorched earth tactic. Just ruin everything, drive it into the ground, and then we can restore order. We can come into power and we can, you know, see, now we're fixing things again. The White House health advisor testified remotely that a vaccine will be essential to stopping the spread of the coronavirus and reducing the rate of deaths from the pandemic. But we just played that clip too when he talks about the concerns that he could. I don't know if he's preemptively like trying to cover for a potential, I'm not saying it's a mass death event or something, but there could be a lot of adverse reaction to a vaccine. And then therefore, you know, there would be, he's trying to, you know, pad himself against potential criticism. I don't know. He also warned that it may take a while before a usable vaccine will be available. Well, of course, you know, again, we'll see what Moderna whips out. The French CEO there, he said, well, we can have it to you in 3 months or some shit like that, right? No long-term testing, no nothing. These people are playing Russian roulette with us, right? Side issue, talking about microchipping earlier. Benjamin Netanyahu suggests microchipping kids, slammed by experts. If the information with kids' location is uploaded to the internet, a pedophile with some cyber knowledge may invade the system and stalk them, cyber expert Einat Muran said. Cyber experts slammed Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for his proposal to microchip children who return to school and kindergartens as the coronavirus lockdown is lifted. While speaking at a press conference Monday, Netanyahu suggested the health ministry used a new technology to help Israel adjust to its new routine as the state is lifting the coronavirus lockdown. That is, technologically, that has not been used before and is allowed under the legislation we shall enact, he clarified. So, you know, these people have no issues microchipping their populations do, which is kind of ironic, I guess, when you think of it. Cool Beans 202 or 222, Sensing Diamond says Gates gets his $742 million M Hydrogen Power Yacht 2023. Powder, I think you're a power yacht. Is that what you're saying? M Hydrogen Power Yacht. Let me just Google that. Yeah, was that some new boat or something he got, Gates? Let me see if I can find anything on that. Bill Gates didn't buy, this is the first thing that comes up here. Bill Gates didn't buy $644 million hydrogen power super yacht. And some says, let me look at this quick. That's an interesting take. Okay, this is, sorry about the loudness there. Let me see what the claim was here. Here we go. Okay, so Engadget claimed that was the case. And then I saw another one that said, no, he didn't actually buy that. Okay, well, I don't know. Interesting though, huh? Yeah, here's Forbes reporting on it too. Let me just see here. Is this 377-foot-long hydrogen-powered concept the ultimate sustainable super yacht? Say anything about, yeah, with multiple media outlets reporting that Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates pledged well over $600 million to build this 376-foot-long hydrogen-powered superyacht concept designed by Seanaut Yacht Architecture and Design and Lateral Naval Architects. Superyacht design and construction may never be quite the same again, even if Bill Gates is not connected to the project at all, as representatives said, blah, blah, blah. Seanaut's 376-foot-long liquid hydrogen power superyacht concept Aqua received lots of attention when it was unveiled at the recent Monaco Yacht Show, but the requirements for designing a sky's the limit concept superyacht are actually quite small compared to finding a pioneering mega billionaire who has the vision, passion, experience, courage, and oh yeah, over $100 billion to build a hydrogen-powered superyacht that has never been built before. Interesting. Yeah, well, this is what, you know, this is how they will live. You live in the on the global plantation later on. Microchipped and everything. These guys will be having a good time out on their out of their, you know, hydrogen powered super yacht. I don't doubt it at all. Thank you for that link, by the way. That was, or the chat, that was interesting. Okay, let me see here. Go back here to chats real quick, guys. Ameri Indian. How about that? Ameri Arian. Another diamond. Hail Poseidon or Kiss when done with stream, please. Well, thank you so much. Host, he says. Okay, host. Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't host too many on DLive. I just never, once I wrap up the stream, I tend to just go on and export the file and get it prepped for the member site and BitChute and stuff like that. But yeah, I'll look into that, definitely. Thank you. Cool Beans says again, yes, hydrogen power, no need to ever come to shore. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've seen stuff. I remember there was a French company allegedly developing things where they powered a motor with salt water. And it was just a boat that was driving around. This is a couple of years back. Not sure what happened to it, but that was the claims. And this company claimed they had it and stuff. But hydrogen, yeah, very interesting, huh? Spencer the First donates a diamond and says, sorry, I missed most of the stream. We'll replay. Yeah, definitely check it out. It's, I think, another good show. A lot of important stuff covered. But thank you for joining us. Better late than never, Spencer. I appreciate that. John Sachs again, open borders for Israel. Diversity is our strength. That's right. Open borders for Israel. It's really, really simple. Spencer the First again sends a diamond and says, hail Red Ice and chat. Thank you, Spencer the First. Appreciate that. Now we're going to wrap up in a little bit here. A couple of more things real quick before we let you guys go. Some important stories. Here's more on Gates, in fact, there too. Now it was the amazing Polly that dug this out first, which is an interesting find. It's from, I guess, reposted from the national file on InfoWars. But Chinese Gates Foundation partner visited Wuhan Institute of Virology in 2018. Fauci's NIAID funded Wuhan bat coronavirus research. We covered this in the Weekend Warrior show. A Chinese government entity that has partnered with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation led a delegation of public health experts to the Wuhan Institute of Virology in December 2018. After the lab had already begun its bat coronavirus research funded by Dr. Anthony Fauci's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. The discovery was made by citizen journalist Amazing Polly. Lana had her on, by the way, a couple of years, about two years back. Did extend an invitation, but unfortunately she felt uncertain to or insecure to come on. I don't know if it's about the because it were controversial or something, but she does great work. Always enjoy her videos. Definitely check her out. She's at 99 Free Mind over on Twitter. Amazing Polly. She does really good work, important stuff. Would love to have her on, but, you know, can't force the lady. it's her choice. Anyway, she does good work, so check her out. President Donald Trump and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo have emboldened the narrative that coronavirus originated at the Wuhan's lab. The Chinese government's Center for Global Public Health guided 10 experts from Africa to the Wuhan lab and other Chinese institutions and reached a consensus on, quote, training of biosafety personnel. The information on the trip from the Wuhan Institute of Virology's website can be read here. According to the website, CGPH has managed and implemented foreign aid mission assigned by the National Health and Family Planning Commission and the Ministry of Commerce, as well as international cooperation projects funded by the United Kingdom's Department of International Development and, of course, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It's funny how all trails, essentially, for running all of this always leads back to Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, right? Always. Every time. By the invitation, yeah, here's the screenshot here from the Wuhan Institute, right? Unbelievable, these people, right? And then, yeah, you're a crazy conspiracy kook, blah, 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 right? Check out a couple of more clips here. Here's regarding China, of course, their AI system. Oh, actually, you know what? We missed this one. That reminded me. Sorry about that. Let me do this one real quick. Sorry, I skipped one here. This one is important. The lower third reminded me here. Grocery prices are soaring. Then we'll look at that other AI video out of China. Grocery prices are soaring. here is what's getting more expensive. And of course, we talked about this. We covered this with Ice Age Farmer in one of our previous Flashback Friday shows. Very important show. Check that out. Share that around because it gives you the background. It's not a big surprise at all of what's coming here. They're saying here, if you read previously CNN Business, you might have seen headlines Tuesday that said prices are falling at an alarming rate. Or the headline from today saying that producers' prices fell by a record amount. That probably feels off to you, and for good reason. Every time you go to the grocery store, that number at the end of the receipt keeps getting bigger. I'm saying here, both things are true. Prices are falling across just about every category. Apparel, hotels, cars, car insurance, and airfare fell through the floor as people stayed home. Everyone knows gas prices are way cheaper. But American grocery store price tags are soaring. Overall, the price of groceries grew 2.6%, including seasonal adjustments in April. That was the biggest increase from one month to the next since 1974, according to Bureau of Labor Statistics. Prices at the supermarket are rising sharply because of coronavirus has disrupted the food supply chain. When restaurants shut down, Americans started cooking at home and demand for groceries shot up. That's why it's so important to fix the supply chains, make sure that all that food that's thrown away comes to the stores, right? That it comes there, or give it to food bank, give it to somebody. What do they do? Nah, it's too complicated. Throw it all away. That's what they're doing. Paying farmers to dump food, to dump milk, let crops rot in the fields. Unbelievable. But they can give us $250 million for migration and immigration and refugees under the Corona stimulus bill that they signed, but they can't allocate, as far as I know, $0 were allocated to try to fix the weak links in the supply chain, right? Because they don't have an interest. It's not the point. The point is to drive up food costs. The point is to get people dependent, make them suffer, right? Food producers and farmers didn't have the ability to quickly shift their food deliveries to grocery stores. Supply chains are super complex beasts. And another line they're arguing from the World Economic Forum was hand this over to artificial intelligence. Let them do everything. Once you have self-driving cars, let's say, you have potentially drones for smaller deliveries. You have robots in warehouses packing things and stuff. You have all of that will be artificial intelligence automated, right? And imagine humanity on 20 years on that or something like that. Dependency. Know nothing about anything. Then a solar flare hits or an EMP or something goes wrong. You'd have just millions starving because we wouldn't know how to pick that up again. It's just amazing. We just hand more and more control over to robotics, to artificial intelligence, to everything else. But I wanted to go down here. Yeah, we know because of meatpacking plants, they've shut them down. They've closed them temporarily. People there have gotten sick and blah, blah, blah. But check out, here are some of the prices. I thought we could go through these real quick here before we look at that other video. Egg prices shot up 16.1% last month. Didn't you wish you had some chickens right about now? Some chickens out in your backyard or however you're living. More difficult, of course, in an apartment or anything like that. But going on a share at least. Have a couple of people own a chicken coop somewhere, right? Breakfast cereal, 1.5%. Milk, bread, and juice, 1.5%, 3.7%, and 3.8%, respectively. Here's a big problem. Donut prices shot up 5% last month. Oh, no. No, I can't believe it. Muffins are 4.7% more expensive. Now, part of this, you should argue, reason too, is because when the government starts handing out free money, this UBI nonsense that's going on right now, essentially, and I'm not saying you shouldn't help people. I'm just saying you should never have locked it down. That's what I'm saying. Let people pay their own bills and go back to work. Of course, you should, yes, help people, but at the same time, it's like all you will see is prices go up. That's why we talked about that. We covered that and said, sure, you can get your free money now, but at the end of the day, you will be paying. You will be paying for higher prices. And here we are. Roasted coffee prices rose 1.2%. Instant coffee was up 2.5%. Soup will cost you 2.6% more. Carbonated beverages, that's a really important thing to have too. Very, very important. Got to get that Coke, you know? Get that Coke and the Pepsi. Prices for that shit is up 4.5%. Maybe that's a good thing. Stop doing it. Cookies, 5.1%. Fruit prices, 1.5%. Apples, 4.9%. Oranges, 5.6%. Citrus, like lemons, limes, etc., 4.3%. Meat prices spiked 3.3. That's going to get much higher, by the way. Much more expensive in the over the summer here. Pork cost 3% more now. Chicken shot up 5.8%. Fresh fish soared 4.2%. Hot dogs 5.7%. Vegetables rose 1.5%. Canned vegetables prices soared 3.6%. And baby food prices rose 2.7%. On the end here, some good news. There's just not a ton of relief out there, but if you're looking for food prices that are getting cheaper, you've got a few options. Ham prices fell by 1.7%. Well, that's just going to be temporary. Breakfast sausage was down 0.3. Butter was down 1.3. And again, that's because they're dumping so much of the milk, right? So butter is a long last. It can last you longer. So I think that's one of the reasons you can produce presumably butter from the dairy that you have. And you can store that longer, etc. Prepared salads fell 3.6. Fresh cupcakes fell 2.3. And tomatoes fell by 1.4. All right. Well, in comparison, that's not much, right? So yeah, that's what's coming. Good stuff, huh? Looking forward to it. Completely manufactured, completely just on a, this was, they could have avoided this, right? Could have avoided this. That was not the plan. It was not the goal. Bandit 1 resub for a month. And is on a 3-month sub streak. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. Cool Beans 2022. Sense of Diamond has Source has been buying third world food products areas for a while. I hear that too. A lot of countries, of course, in the first world, they used to have stocks, stock ups of like grain reserves and stuff, has not done that for several years. But my country, Sweden, they were like, we're in peacetime now. It's not going to be any wars anymore. Outsource the underground shelters to server farms and to ISPs, and then we'll give away all this grain and crop and things we have stored for if there, you know, if the emergency hits, essentially. That's gone. Yeah, they think we're in this post-historic era right now where things of this nature won't happen anymore. This is how delusional they are. Sweden even have, they had like a gas mask for every single person in Sweden for decades. And just a few years ago, they got rid of all of it. They burned it. They didn't even hand it out to people. They destroyed it because they said, it's not going to be any issue anymore. It's not going to be any wars anymore. That's it. History solved. It's over. Cool Beans again says, with a diamond, why they tried crashing our food supply. It's a continuation of the previous message there. Yeah, that he was buying up third world food products, production areas for a while when they tried crashing our food supply. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. That's what has been going on. It's crazy. Thank you, Cool Beans. I appreciate that. John sucks. Sensei Diamond says, extended 6 weeks again will happen till election. Yeah, I know some areas, they're just extending it. It's unbelievable. Crazy, crazy stuff. John Sachs again says, we grow our own food here. Our garden game is strong. Very, very good. Get into that. Get into it now. Do it this spring. Perfect time right now. Plant your tomatoes. Check out that victory, thevictoryseed.org. We showed it in the Ice Edge Farmer Show. What to plant at what time. Get in on it now. If you have a tiny plot of land, do something. Grow something on it. Begin. Experiment. Test. Do what you can. Get some chickens if you can. This thing could get nutty, right? And we want you guys to be strong, to survive, to be in a good position, right? So the shit's going to hit the fan when it comes to this stuff. Anyway, back to this one here. A couple of more things we want to show before we let you guys go. China's artificial intelligence system is just completely out of control. This is what we have to look forward to in the first world too, in the West. That's what's coming. They look to China as a model, as an inspiration. Check out this short clip here.
Constantly monitored by facial recognition cameras that are able to instantly put a face to a name. Now the Chinese are also ranked.
Teachers at this primary school in China know exactly when someone isn't paying attention. These headbands measure each student's level of concentration. The information is then directly sent to the teacher's computer and to parents. This fifth grader, whom we caught dozing off in class, told us his parents punish him for low attention scores. China has big plans to become a global leader in artificial intelligence. It has enabled a cashless economy where people make purchases with their faces. A giant network of surveillance cameras with facial recognition helps police monitor citizens. Students wear uniforms with chips that track their locations. There are even surveillance cameras that monitor how often students check their phones or yawn during classes. Experts and citizens alike are sounding alarms about various aspects of the country's huge push into artificial intelligence. These classrooms are laboratories for future generations.
Yep, that's right. And they are laboratories for what we're going to get eventually, too. That's the thing, right? Can you imagine being like on the dissident right and thinking this shit is like based and cool and fresh and hip? You're the fucking idiots. It's just amazing. It's totally cool. It's totally not the liberal, neoliberal order that's in place in government that's doing this to us. All of a sudden, it's some cool, hip, fashy, directive that's coming from on high. Hey, Hugh Jess over on VK says, if you control the food, you control the people. That's right. That's very simple. That's what they did. That's why they had starvation programs running. Occasionally throughout history, right? Because it's a great way to control the population. You can make them submit to what you want. But yeah, so this is what we have to look forward to. You know, they'll eventually, if you doze off like this kid here, you know, dozes or like stops concentrating a little bit, you'll have an electrical prod kind of in the headband already. Oh, sorry. Okay, I'll pay attention. Got to repeat the economics, you know. Got to learn faster. So, you know, that's why the elite and all these globalists, they're looking to China and they say, this is great. And look at the kids there in that little, the yellow vests. Look at them there.
Where people make purchases with their faces. A giant...
And that could totally not go wrong, too, when, like, you know, people talk about, you know, whether you have a microchip in your hand to open a door or something. It's like, okay, well, people will chop your hand off and go into your house. Imagine when they start chopping heads off to, like, or just... maybe grabbing someone, beating them unconscious and holding them in front of somewhere to make a purchase or, you know, all this shit is just so dumb and so ridiculous, right?
A network of surveillance cameras with facial recognition helps police monitor.
What I'm saying is that these are not fail-safe things. They will be sold to us like that, right? But yeah, check the kids in the vest.
The vests. Students wear uniforms with chips that track their locations.
And now you just have the phones. You don't have to have a vest that, you know... I mean, I know the symbolic thing is, like, important that you're, like... It shows that you're wearing it kind of thing, right? That's an important psychological kind of boundary to step over and that to have you to kind of submit to it, right? All right. Let me mute that a little bit. Jordan Sachs again says, social credit scores will be the death of the West. Yeah, I mean, we've already seen the death of the West has already happened, right? We're just seeing this coming into fruition. We're just seeing this coming into full view, as they say, right? But yeah, it will put the nail in the coffin on dissent, on thinking differently, on daring to speak up against it, and that's why they love China. They love that system. Thank you, Jones. I appreciate that. Mr. Noseberg sends another diamond. It says, narrator sound like she thinks it's great. Yeah, she probably does, right? This is really cool. It's a Wall Street Journal, right? God, they're so ahead. It's so hip. And then they always have the ubiquitous, at the end, privacy. Some groups have raised privacy concerns, and then that's it. And they just drop it off there, and that's it. They don't give you anything more. Thank you, Mr. Noseberg. Appreciate that. Yusuf A gifted a 1 month sub to White Ice TV, 14 reasons. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate that. Dr. Silberman donates a diamond. No message. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. All right, guys. I think that's it. We're at the top of the hour here. We're going to start wrapping up. I had a couple of, actually, okay. I can't avoid it. Let me do this one. This is funny. Facebook moderators given $1,000 each because they were essentially red-pilled and, they say, converted into trolls. Facebook is giving $1,000 to content moderators who said online trolls turned them into conspiracy theorists. Check this out. You can't make this shit up, right? Facebook agreed to pay out $52 million settlement to thousands of current and former content moderators who said they were suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome after viewing upsetting content on the job, The Verge reported Tuesday. We followed this story. Remember that? We covered it many times in Weekend Warrior, if you remember, talking about the experience of these content moderators, and that essentially a lot of them were, they became red pilled. They woke up, they started questioning the consensus around them. They started having questions about 9/11. They started thinking about even immigration agenda, population, like all these things. Memes actually like broke some of these people down, and they turned them into, you know, a truther, right? A dirty word, a truther, someone who thinks the truth matters, right? But they still went on to kind of rail against Facebook and say, you're guilty. Now, I became an online troll and you turned me into a conspiracy theorist. Although it's like, well, is it true? Did you agree with it? All of a sudden, reality lined up with the version that you were being asked to moderate. And you obviously got convinced, otherwise you would not agree to it. So they're seeking to milk more money out of it by pushing Facebook up against the wall. It's you can't make these up, these stories. It's unbelievable. Each moderator will receive a minimum of $1,000 and will be eligible for additional compensation if they are exhibiting other trauma due to the kind of content they regularly viewed, the report noted. The settlement applies to 11,250 moderators. Some of them, whom told The Verge in 2019 that they had become conspiracy theorists while moderating content people posted online. We are so pleased to see that Facebook worked with us to create an unprecedented program to help people performing work that was unimaginable even a few years ago, Stephen Williams, a lawyer for the plaintiff, said in a press statement addressing the settlement. The harm that can be suffered from this work is real and severe. That's right. If you are exposed to the truth, otherwise, why would you, like, if you're not, right? Otherwise, why would you be converted to a troll if you don't buy this? If you don't, it's just unbelievable. All right, check that story out. I'll put it in the DLive chat. It's just hilarious. Can't make that shit up, right? All right, guys, we're going to wrap up there. Had a couple of more things to cover, but we'll have to save that to next time. A few more stories we didn't have time to get to. Speaking of Facebook, I saw this one was kind of funny. Facebook moderators, $1,000 each. All right. Okay, guys, we will wrap up there. Again, make a little plug for the members website. Check that out if you're new around here. Check that out if you want all of our content. We have a lot for you guys in the members section. All of our archives back to 2006. A lot of content we covered over the years. A lot of good stuff. A lot of fun stuff. A lot of things that is worth to know about. Latest show, of course, Weekend Warrior. Check that out. We have two videos more with Lana coming in the pipeline. One that I'm seeking to finalize either later today, later tonight, or tomorrow. It's going to be on her being a dissident mom, what that means, the complications, the difficulties that come with that, the challenges and so forth, being targeted by a lot of media. So that's coming up exclusive at redicemembers.com. Then, of course, you have an exclusive there right now. You're just like the left, but this will be uploaded to BitChute and to our public channels and the main website, redice.tv, probably tomorrow. So check that out. But if you can't wait, it's available right now at redicemembers.com. Let me just double check, make sure there's nothing on entropy here. Actually, there is one here. Sorry about missing that. I should have checked that sooner. Black Phillip gives a $3 donation over on entropystream.live/redice TV and says the Californian State College system has just announced fall has been canceled. This is insane. It's apparent, I should say, this is just a power grab by California to hold the feds hostage for bailout of dollars yet again. Interesting. I got to follow up on that. That's just insane. I'm saying they're trying to do this thing all the way up to November, all the way up to the election. Unbelievable. Thank you for that, Black Phillip. I appreciate that. It's just nuts. Let me check donor box. Make sure there's nothing else there I missed. Jacob H. sends a message over there, $5. He says, I don't drink or smoke or do drugs, so let my friends squeeze my neck until I get lightheaded. But I do reserve the option to drink coffee and use naughty words sometimes, keeping it real. Well, that sounds good. I approve. Thank you, Jacob. I appreciate that. Very kind of you. Check DLive once more here right at the end, guys, before we wrap up. Mr. Noseberg donates another diamond. Thank you so much, Mr. Noseberg. You have been very, very big supporter today. Big donor today. A lot of Ninja Guineas from Mr. Noseberg. I do appreciate it. He's a great mod over on DLive. And he says, with a diamond, Weekend Warrior equals best show. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We do put a lot of work into it. We do prep all of Saturday. We record it Sundays, and then we do post-production on it and stuff like that. So it's a little bit more fun, a little bit more engaging. A lot of clips in there. It looks a little bit better and stuff like that. So definitely check it out, guys. If you're new, great way of supporting us as well, of course. All right, boys and girls, I'm going to open the chest over on DLive. We have some lemons in there, so heads up on that. Distribute awards, that's coming up. Thank you to all of you for your support. I do appreciate it very much. Hope you've had a wonderful day here today. If it's getting late for you guys over in Europe, thank you for watching us. Thank you for staying with us. And of course, to everyone else as well, we'll be back here Friday. And I'm seeking to have Hard Bastard actually co-hosting. I don't know if you're aware of his show, Hard News Network. He does some good streams on YouTube and DLive. I think he's gone over to DLive primarily right now. But him, I'm hoping to get with us as a co-host on Friday for Flashback Friday. If not, we have some other people in the pipeline that will step up and jump in. But yeah, if you listen to Hard News or the Hard Bastard, send him a message. Tell him we want to get him on for Flashback Friday. He didn't get back to me yet, so I'm just kind of waiting a little bit on that. Then actually on Tuesday, next week, we have a return guest of one actually that was with us, one of the first shows that we ever did. David Icke is going to come back on Red Ice TV Tuesday. Not sure if we do it live yet or not. Of course, he was censored by YouTube recently and Facebook, very much in a similar situation to Red Ice. Kicked off in very close succession to some of these big social media platforms. And of course, you don't have to agree with everything David Icke says. I do not agree with everything that David Icke has talked about over the years. But in terms of the takeover of what's happening right now with the technology, with the overreach by government and stuff like that, he's been vindicated. I mean, a lot of the things we even talked about it way back on the show, back in 2006, for Christ's sake, are coming into effect now in 2020. Unbelievable. Who would have thought, huh? All right, so that's coming up. That's going to be fun Tuesday. We have some other shows in the pipeline too, guys. But yeah, I think that's it. Yusuf ASL sent a diamond over on DLive as well. Thank you for that. Silosopher sent one as well. Thank you. And Yusuf A sent another one diamond there too. There's no messages attached to those. So guys, stay safe. Get outside. Get some fresh air. Start putting the shovel in the ground. Get something planted. Try it out. Get some chickens if you can. Things might be bad, but we'll be with you here all throughout this insanity, of course, continuing to cover all of it. Never seen anything like it. Absolutely nuts. But try to disconnect, take some time off. Very important. Guys, we'll be back here soon. Much more coming up. Stay tuned. RedIce.tv and RedIceMembers.com. This has been the No-Go Zone. We'll see you later. Now, if you're new here, just want to alert you to Weekend Warrior, our exclusive show that we do at RedIceMembers.com each weekend. News roundup show. We talk about some of the current events, the most important stories. We have a good laugh as well. Laugh at some of the cultural Marxist absurdities. Check it out if you haven't already. An exclusive show. People love it. They tune in each weekend. They don't miss a single show. It's well produced. There really isn't anything like it on the anti-globalist movement, whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much for watching. But again, if you want more, RedIceMembers.com, Weekend Warrior. Check it out.